Welcome to Healthline 3. I'm Jade Bolexa. Thank you for joining us. Breast Cancer Awareness Month is well underway, and we are discussing the importance of early detection. Dr. Julie Cupp joins us from Willis-Knighton Breast Health and Surgical Specialists. And Dr. Cupp, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So remember to call us at 318-219-4569 to talk with Dr. Cupp. Well, Dr. Cupp, let's start out with this. At what age should a woman without a family history start imaging?
At age 40. So that's when, with no major risk factors, any woman with breasts should be doing their mammograms. Mm-hmm. And we do recommend them to be done annually. So every year you should be getting an updated mammogram.
Okay, good deal. And tell us, at what age should a woman with a family history before age 50 begin imaging?
So for women who have a family history that's under before the age of 50, we want to start doing their imaging sooner. So the rule of thumb is basically 10 years younger than the youngest person diagnosed with breast cancer. So if you have a family member who was diagnosed at age 45, then you would want to start doing mammograms at age 35. Now, if you do come from a family that has a family history of really young breast cancers, like in the 30s, we don't do mammograms before the age of 30. So during, for those who have family risk that need screening in their 20s, we use MRIs for those.
Ah, okay, okay. And say you feel a mass or some other symptoms but have already had an annual mammogram, can you get another one done within 1 year of the last mammogram?
Definitely. So that's what's called a diagnostic mammogram. So there's a lot of confusion. People think when they've had their screening mammogram that's it, that's all I can do for the whole year. But if there's something going on in the breast that we're concerned about and we think we need to investigate it, we can always order another one. And yes, it is covered by your insurance. So you don't have to worry about, oh my goodness, this is, you know, not something that's going to be covered. It's going to cost me huge out of pocket. You can get that other one, and it's done as a diagnostic mammogram looking for a specific problem, compared to we don't think there's a problem and we just want to make sure everything's good with screening.
Mm-hmm. Because breast cancer just seems to be so prevalent these days.
Definitely.
Everyone seems to know someone who has had it, or maybe yourself has had it. What extra imaging is done if you're at high risk or have what they call dense breast?
So for people who are high risk, which means greater than a 20% lifetime risk of developing breast cancer, we add in MRI, and in some places they have ultrasound where they do screening ultrasounds in addition to the mammograms for some extra sensitivity. So as I said, for our really young people, we use just MRIs, but as we get older, we add in the mammograms in addition to it. So using the mammograms plus the MRIs increases the detection of early breast cancers by 17 people for every 1,000 people we screen. So we get a nice little increase in the amount of cancers that we can find earlier by adding in that additional imaging with the MRI. Technology with ultrasound is constantly evolving and getting better and better, and so that also has the ability to detect a few extra. So with our patients who are high risk or have that really dense breast tissue, it's nice to have that extra imaging capability to be able to look through that density that we see on mammograms and make sure something's not hiding within that density.
Mm-hmm. So can you get an ultrasound or MRI instead of a mammogram? I mean, do you have that choice?
No, not really, because there are things that we see with mammograms that we can't see on ultrasound or in MRIs that we can see on mammograms. So by not doing your mammograms, even if you're getting these other high-risk screening modalities, you're losing a good percentage of screening. One of those things would be calcifications. Those just don't really show up really well in ultrasound or MRIs. And that can be a sign of early stage breast cancer, such as ductal carcinoma in situ, which is a stage zero type breast cancer. And so by missing that, by not including mammograms in your screening regimen, then that might end up progressing into an invasive cancer that we could have avoided.
Hmm. So what risk factors would make someone high risk for breast cancer?
Well, the most obvious one is family history. We all hear about how if you have a family history, that increases your risk for breast cancer, and that is definitely true. But overall, the big thing that is what controls your risk for breast cancer is your exposure to estrogen over time. So things like early onset of your periods, so our really young women who are developing their periods at around 8 or 9 have an increased risk. Having your first child after the age of 30 and also never having a child can increase your risk because the pregnancies has that interruption in your estrogen cycle, which can help reduce your risk. So that's why having your first kid at a younger age is actually protective against having breast cancer in the future. Having a later menopause, so average age of menopause is around 52-ish. So if you end up going through menopause closer to 60, that can also increase your risk. And then there's things like exposure to hormones over time with birth control, fertility treatments, and hormone replacement therapy. Now, none of those things actually increase the risk tons necessarily, but if you already have other factors that are increasing your risk for breast cancer, the use of these extra estrogens might be needed to investigate it on how we can do it safely without increasing your risk a whole lot more.
What age do you typically see breast cancer? Is there an age?
So around the average age of diagnosis is about 62. So it is a disease of aging. So, you know, we're not really seeing that many people who are 20 years old coming in with a breast cancer, but it still can happen at those young ages. And unfortunately, it's harder to find those breast cancers because a lot of times we think it's probably going to just be another little normal lump and bump, but not anything serious. But if you notice something that's just not right, push for getting that testing to get it evaluated just to make sure. Mm-hmm. But if you're talking about norms, it's usually in our 60s where that risk actually starts going up, which is why we start our screening recommendations around age 40, because we want to be well younger than whenever the risk is starting to peak.
So we are taking your calls right now. Call us at 318-219-4569. And how can we reduce our risk of getting breast cancer?
So things that you can control for reducing your risk are things like your weight, how much you exercise, getting proper sleep. All those things that they tell us about having a good, healthy life is really important in reducing your risk for breast cancer too. Weight is a big issue because, as we talked about, exposure to estrogen increases the risk for breast cancer. Well, everybody knows that our ovaries make estrogen, but so do fat cells. And so as we increase our weight, we have more circulating estrogen in our system. So by reducing weight and getting to a more normal BMI, we can help reduce our risk for breast cancer. For people who are high risk, there's extra things that we can do to help reduce the risk. For some people, we opt to use what's called chemoprophylaxis, or medicines that block estrogen from getting to breast cells, in order to help reduce the risk of developing a hormone-driven breast cancer. And so these can be a really good way of reducing your risk of having a breast cancer. The other form of risk reduction for people who are high risk, especially people who have genetic mutations that really increase their risk, then we start talking about prophylactic surgery, where we do mastectomies with or without reconstruction, to where we minimize the amount of breast tissue that's there, therefore we're reducing those risks. And then in general, if we have a person who has been through menopause and they're using hormone replacement therapy, we want to limit how long they're on hormone replacement therapy to about 5 years maximum, in order to get that help of, you know, smoothing out the edges of menopause without significantly increasing the risk of breast cancer.
Mm-hmm. And talk about breast density. What exactly is that? What does that mean?
So breast density, the first thing that comes to mind typically for people is how the breasts feel. And that really has nothing to do with it. What we're talking about when we're talking about breast density is, how does the tissue look when we do an x-ray of it, or a mammogram? And so on mammogram, the fat in the breast is more black, whereas when we have the gland in the breast, it's more white. And so the more gland that you have in there, the more white there is, that increases the density of the breast. Now that's a problem because cancers are also white on mammograms. And so if you have a lot of breast density, a lot of gland, it can hide a small tumor in there and make it harder for us to see it at an earlier stage. So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about breast density. So I always tell my patients, having a fatty breast is a good thing. It's the one and only thing on our body we want to be fatty.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we have Terry on the phone. Good afternoon, Terry. What is your question?
I was wanting to ask the doctor that I'm 65 years old, and I went to have my mammogram, and it showed a little tiny mass inside my left breast.
Okay.
And so they had me to come back, and they took it another mammogram, and the doctors kind of conversed back and forth, and they don't really know what it is, and now they want me to have a biopsy. So I was wanting to know your opinion on the biopsy and what I might be in store for.
So the biopsy is the only way for us to know for sure what we're dealing with on when we see these kind of findings. For the average person, the risk of finding something that turns out to be a cancer from a screening mammogram that then gets diagnostic workup, about 5% of the people who get the biopsy will have a breast cancer. So the odds are still in your favor that this could just be some benign changes within the breast, like a lymph node or a fibroadenoma, or just some clumpiness of the breast tissue. But yes, there is a real chance that this could represent a breast cancer.
Okay.
All right, Terry, anything else you want to ask?
No, I guess that's it. Thank you very much.
No problem. And best of luck with that biopsy. Hopefully you get great news.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so tell us more about biopsies. So what exactly happens?
So depending on what they were seeing on the mammogram, then they decide how they want to approach the biopsy. And so we can either use mammogram to approach the biopsy, and it's called a stereotactic biopsy. And then if we can see it with ultrasound, we can use the ultrasound to guide the biopsy. So depending on which method they're using, they'll get you set up. If it's a mammogram, you'll actually be in compression during the biopsy. And they have a computer that helps line up the needle to hit the target of what they're trying to biopsy. And so the computer helps guide in the needle to where the lesion is, and we make sure that we get a good sampling of it that way. If it's done by ultrasound, then we can use the ultrasound probe on the breast and use that to guide the needle into the to the mass or the whatever it is that they're trying to target, kind of thing. So what they do is they clean the skin really well, then they numb it up really, really good, and they numb down around what their target is to make sure that patients are comfortable as possible. And then they make a small nick in the skin to allow a bigger needle to enter, where they can go in and take several bites of the tissue in that area to get a sample of what it is that they were targeting. If it was targeting something like calcifications, we'll actually take pictures of the sample that we took out and make sure that we actually have those calcifications within the specimen to make sure we accurately targeted the lesion. From there, after we sampled it really well, we leave a little metal clip in there to say, hey, we've already biopsied this, we know what the answer is. So if it does come back benign, then later on when you go back to get your mammogram, they don't try to biopsy it again. So
gotcha.
It's really helpful to have these little tags there. Now, you have more metal in your earrings than you would ever have in your breast from a biopsy. So it's not something that causes any kind of discomfort or anything like that, but it helps the radiologist to know, hey, we know what that is. And so then it's also helpful from the standpoint, if it does turn out something to need surgery, we can use that to guide the surgeons to be able to get that part of the breast out when surgery happens.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. Very insightful. Christine, good afternoon to you. What is your question for Dr. Cupp?
Yes, my husband has a fatty pocket on his chest, and he was concerned about it. I know that men are, you know, susceptible to breast cancer as well, and I was wondering, what is the statistical possibility?
So for gentlemen, they're actually kind of lucky when it comes to breast cancer. Unless there's a genetic mutation that's known to be in the family and your husband has that genetic mutation, the average risk for a man to develop breast cancer is less than 0.1%. So it's really low likelihood that men would be diagnosed with breast cancer. Can it happen? Sure. I've had a couple of patients who are men who've had breast cancer, even without a mutation. So it is definitely possible. What I would recommend for him is to reach out to his doctors to get some diagnostic imaging done. He gets to be one of the fortunate men who gets to experience a mammogram, and they probably would also want to do an ultrasound to make sure what this looks like. And this could very likely be something as simple as a little fatty pocket, like you were saying, and nothing needs to be done about it. But getting that imaging can be very reassuring that there is not something more going on that needs to be dealt with.
Yeah, that's some good advice.
Thank you so much.
You're
thank
welcome.
You. All right. Thank you, Christine. Okay, so we talked about the biopsy and we talked to Christine about her husband. What are some surgical options if one is found to have breast cancer?
So there's two options when it comes to breast cancer surgeries. One is a mastectomy, where we remove the entire breast, and then there's a lumpectomy, which is also known as a partial mastectomy, where we remove the area where the cancer is with the margin of normal tissue all the way around it, but we leave the rest of the breast behind. Commonly, most people think that the best answer is going to be to do a mastectomy. Really and truly, the only time someone needs to do a mastectomy is if we can't take the cancer out and have a normal looking breast behind. So if you have a tumor that's the size of a golf ball inside of an A cup breast, you can imagine that's going to be in the majority of the breast. Mm-hmm. For people like that, they definitely need a mastectomy. If you have a tumor that's about a centimeter and a half, which is about the width of my fingertip here, and you have a generous C cup, D cup kind of breast, then there's definitely no reason why we need to take off the entire breast to be able to get that cancer out effectively. If you have a mastectomy, most people are able to avoid radiation therapy, which is a common reason why some people do opt to have a mastectomy over having a lumpectomy. But if you are okay with doing radiation therapy, lumpectomies are typically a really great way of going. Back in the 70s, when screening had become much better and we started detecting cancers at an earlier stage, women started asking the question of, do we really have to lose our breast if we get this diagnosis? So there was this big study that was done and looked to see if mastectomy was better than a lumpectomy. And the answer was, mastectomy is not better than a lumpectomy and radiation. And recently we have re-evaluated that previous study from the 70s to look to see if that was still true many years later. And they've also repeated those studies with more modern diagnostics and treatments. And they have found that people who have an early stage breast cancer who have a lumpectomy and radiation may have up to a 7% better survival comparative to doing a mastectomy. So really and truly, the knee-jerk reaction of I need to just cut off my breast is really not necessary. And for a lot of women, we can safely do breast conservation and still have the breast left in place.
That's really good to know. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes,
for sure. And then reconstruction, talk about that if you do decide to get a mastectomy.
So reconstruction is a great option for mastectomies. Studies have actually shown that people who have mastectomies who get reconstruction have an overall sense of better survivorship afterwards and a better sense of wholeness because of the reconstruction. So reconstruction is a process that in some cases, like with early stage breast cancers, we can even begin it at the time of mastectomy. So when you wake up, you do have still some shape of a breast in that area, so you don't feel like you've just lost everything. We can actually rebuild something there. It can be done with either implants or tissue-based. So we can put an implant underneath the skin and or the pectoralis muscle to give that shape of a breast. Usually that one is done as a two-stage procedure. So the initial surgery is putting in a tissue expander that we slowly fill over the next few weeks to get to the size that you're hoping to be. And then once we're at that size, they exchange it in a second surgery for the final implant that gives the appropriate shape and feel. Then the other option is that we do a tissue-based reconstruction. So we borrow some skin and fat from like the belly or the backside, the thighs, anywhere we got some little extra. We can actually bring it up and put it into the chest. Now those surgeries tend to be a lot more invasive and have more risk and complications that can happen with it, because typically these are what we call free flaps, in which we actually disconnect it from the blood supply of its original location, and then we reimplant it into the blood supply on the chest. So there's a lot more that goes into it, and so it is a great procedure, fabulous cosmetic, but it definitely takes a lot longer to recover from compared to the implant type of reconstruction. A lot of people worry about that because we use plastic surgery to help us with this, and everybody's like, well, I don't want to pay thousands and thousands of dollars. Well, actually, there's been a federal mandate that has says that insurance have to cover reconstructions. So it is not a cosmetic surgery. It's restoration to normalcy after a cancer surgery. So your insurance, unless you have a very, you know, strange private insurance that's sort of a co-op kind of thing, if it is a normal insurance policy, it should cover reconstruction. And then the big thing, that the other, you know, pushback that I get as far as people worrying about reconstruction is being too old for it. And I tell all my patients, no one is too old for reconstruction. It's a matter of how healthy you are. I have patients who are in their 80s who have had mastectomies and have opted for reconstructions and have done fabulous with it. So there's no reason why you're 60 years old and facing this diagnosis that if you want to have a mastectomy and you want reconstruction, go for it, because it really can improve that overall sense of satisfaction.
Mm-hmm. And chemotherapy, will someone with breast cancer need chemotherapy, and when would they need that?
So chemotherapy and breast cancer is definitely a thing, and a lot of people do get it, but actually the vast majority of people who have breast cancer do not need traditional chemotherapy. So that's the great news. But people who have certain types like HER2 positive or triple negative type breast cancers, they're very likely going to need chemotherapy to help with their disease. But the majority of women who have hormone driven breast cancers will not need chemotherapy, and usually will just have hormonal therapy that targets the estrogen receptor to help with their treatment.
Okay. And we talked some about radiation, and just talk a little bit about more on the prevention and what we can all do to stay healthy and prevent getting breast cancer.
So the big things is making sure that you're getting your mammograms if it's time for mammograms. So if you're over the age of 40, regardless of your family history risk factors, you should be getting a mammogram and getting them annually. There is no stop dates as far as age of when I should stop getting my mammograms, because I've had patients who've been diagnosed with breast cancer in their 90s. So we know this is a disease of aging, so we need to go ahead and continue doing our mammograms annually as long as it makes sense to get mammograms. Now, if you're in your 80s and your health is declining due to other health issues, getting a mammogram is probably not as helpful as compared to somebody who's 65 years old. But yes, if you are in that age range, you want to be able to get your mammograms once a year to make sure you stay on top of those things, because things can change from year to year. Otherwise, big things that I recommend is maintaining a healthy diet, exercising, getting good sleep, all those things for staying healthy in general. As much as possible, avoiding extra estrogens. And so if you are 48 years old and you're having very heavy periods, instead of potentially using hormonal therapies to control those periods, especially if you're not wanting to preserve fertility anymore, then it might be more useful to do a surgical procedure such as an ablation or even a hysterectomy to control those symptoms instead of adding in extra hormonal therapy in that process.
Mm-hmm. And could there be other symptoms? I mean, obviously a lump could be a symptom, but I've mm-hmm. heard of, you know, women feeling achy and then going and finding out they have breast cancer, stuff like that?
So definitely, there's all these things that we call B symptoms whenever we talk about cancers, unexplained weight loss, achy feeling and things like that. And it's really hard to contribute it to say, yes, this is definitely a cancer. But if there's anything that is changing about your general health that just does not make sense, it's definitely worth getting it investigated. And if you don't have an up-to-date mammogram in that process, make sure that happens, because definitely those are things that could be your first warning sign that something is going on and needs to be investigated. But other things that we look for is things like the skin dimpling, nipple inversions, nipple discharge. Now, with nipple discharge, I always warn my patients, this is not you trying to milk yourself to see if you can force something to come out. It's more along the lines of if you take your bra off and you notice there's a wet spot at the nipple area, or if you're doing a self-exam and you notice if you press right here, it squirts out from the nipple, then that could be a sign of some breast cancer. But typically, thank goodness, it's usually benign changes.
Mm-hmm. And so mammograms have sort of changed over the years too.
Definitely. So we have gotten way better with mammograms. Original mammograms used to be basically a chest x-ray that they did just of the breast. How those radiologists back then could read anything on there, I have no idea, but they were fabulous, fabulous doctors for doing so. Over the years, we then developed digital mammograms, which was the computer was assisting in helping getting better delineation, just like photography in any other field. You just get better and better delineation of what's going on to be able to tell what's happening, getting better contrast and things like that. Lately, the best part of mammography is using tomosynthesis, which is what we call the 3D mammograms. And so with the 3D mammograms, we're able to kind of open the book, I would say, to be able to look inside it versus trying to read through all the pages at one time. And it's been compared to like getting a CT scan, where we can actually roll through it and see what's happening deeper and deeper in there. And it's been really helpful, especially in dense breast, because with that layering effect, we've actually called people back thinking we see a mass, and then we do extra imaging, we find out, nope, there's actually not a mass there, it's just the way that the tissues were layered on top of it. And with 3D, we're able to go, ooh, I think there might be something there, but then we start opening it up and looking through the layers, we see it's actually a summation event and not actually a real thing. So we're saving lots of women biopsies that they never needed to have by being able to better understand if there's something real or not. And the converse is true too, where we've had women who on the 2D image, it looks perfectly fine, but when we start removing layers, all of a sudden a mass becomes very apparent and we're able to say, oh, hey, yeah, we definitely need to find this, where it may have taken another 3 or 4 years before it got to the point that we would have detected it. So we have gotten much more sensitive and specific with our testing, to where we have fewer people coming back with a false positive or even having a false negative test, and we're able to detect cancers better and better every year as we embrace the 3D technology. And thank goodness insurance has also come online and is covering those better too.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, this has been really informative. And say that you've had breast cancer and you've had the reconstruction, do you need to go back for mammograms?
So no, if you've had mastectomies, we do not do any more mammograms of that breast. That's kind of one of the perks. No breast, yeah. No mammograms.
Right.
Now, it doesn't mean that we just stop surveillance though. Typically, it's at least a physical exam once or twice a year to make sure we don't notice any changes, because recurrences that happen are typically right underneath the remaining breast skin. So we're able to palpate any of those changes. And if at any point in time we feel something or that we see some changes that are just not, you know, what we like, we will actually go ahead and get an ultrasound and or an MRI to further work it up. So there is imaging that can be done, but it is not typically recommended to be done annually after a mammogram, after a mastectomy.
Okay. Just curious about that. Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Cobb. I've enjoyed having you on today. It's been great. And how can people reach you real quick?
So my office number is 318-212-3772. And also you can go to the Willis Knighton, find a doc, and they have a connection to where you can request an online appointment or an appointment online. And my office staff will be happy to reach out to you to schedule that appointment.
Great. So get your mammograms. It's super important. And thank you for joining us for this edition of Healthline 3. We'll see you next time.